to you in part by Common Ground Food Co-op. Food that nourishes you and gives back to your community may be found at Common Ground Food Co-op, located in Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana. Your dollar stays local when you shop Co-op, cultivating community and local food since 1974. The views and opinions expressed on WEFT are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent Prairie Air Incorporated or the other station volunteers. Stay tuned next for The Prairie Monk with Dave Monk. Hello, everybody. You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Prairie Monk program. My name is Bill Saylor. I am sitting in for Dave Monk, the Prairie Monk. As many of you probably know by now, Mr. Monk has been in nursing care the past few weeks, but I've stepped in to bring you shows from the archive, many of which I was part of, and I've been hoping to bring you updates from Dave himself, and this week we have both in this program. As Dave has been talking about before he kind of retired his weekly recordings, this year, he's been describing having brought together a new board of directors for Heartland Pathways, which is his rail, trail, and prairie preservation organization. And they have been active. And one of the things we've been doing that I've been helping them with is trying to find and collect the record of Dave's work. And if you've met Dave, and of course, if you know Dave well, you know that Dave Monk's work has often been informal education and sharing. This weekly radio show for the past 30 years has definitely been a part of that. So with that in mind, I've been picking out some recordings and some I've been rediscovering myself. This week's is from before the show was an hour and before I was engineer on it. This is from 1992 on a cassette labeled April 19th, 1992. And that's a little out of season because now it's July. It's July 10th, 2022 today as we broadcast. So even though there's no field trip that he's describing today at 3, there's no field trip. And the state of the plants are not what they would be in July as he is describing them in April. And now, this 30 years later, this was 30 years ago, this recording, maybe even that timeline's change of when the plants come out. But the cassette is labeled Prairie and Shady Rest, Wildflowers, and Forest Preserve, if we can fit all that in. And as Dave, with much enthusiasm, and we're going to run this, and then we will have an update from Dave. And also in this show, I'm going to have a memoriam for a friend of mine who was also a past resident of Champaign-Urbana, who I just learned this weekend passed away. So we will get to that in the next hour, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, my name is Bill Saylor. This is the Prairie Monk program on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. And yes, this segment is pre-recorded.
And this is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. And we're rolling. It is spring and it's Easter, but the flowers are out there and they're marvelous. And so I thought we'd like to do an instant field trip, and that's what we're at this morning. The instant field trip, will leave ERES and WEFT at 3 o'clock, and it will be for your information. We will run to a prairie, a wonderful, wonderful prairie just west of Seymour, and then look at things like hoary puccoon and prairie phlox and starry-eyed grass and golden Alexander, all of which are starting to do their thing. And we will take this field trip whether it rains or shines and whether we have one person or we have more. Often get small numbers, and this is Easter weekend, so we're making it 3 o'clock so that you can have your Easter repast and then perhaps join us. If not, you can get a map from us and go out. That's if you arrive before we leave. If you bring your car, you can escape. And if you want, you can bring your mountain bicycle and ride along that way. We will spend about half an hour on the prairie. It's even if it's wet, we go, because that's what's the fun thing to do at this time of year. That's what happened. It was always wet in spring. Wet spring, wet fall, dry summer. These plants are adapted to that, and they're standing up brightly. There's things like cordgrass is about 6 inches high and growing at a pace, and it eventually will be 10 feet high. And so now you're seeing the first starts of it. You have to know all that bacteria is under there doing its thing, and the small organisms and the bugs are starting to get out. Then the worms are starting to digest the soil, and this is the healthy thing. This is what made this country, this part of the country, so fertile, so that it could have corn and soybeans. But I think sometimes people have forgotten that we had a whole retinue of plants and animals that made this soil what it is. We also had a little help from a glacier and a few things like that that carved down some mountains that were rather rich and brought us the soils, but those soils have been mellowed over thousands of years. And with the help of some being in the middle of the continent and lots of lightning and storms, just like we're having lately. So it's 70 a day, and then the other day it was snowing and so on and so forth. So here we are with just a lot of activity and a lot of lightning and buildup of litter and prairie fires, and all these plants are plants that need and are dependent on burning. There might be a few that do a little bit better without it, but they usually find a nook that's unburned, so we leave some stuff that's unburned, and it survives. And so the ants are starting to get out. The ant nests are still visible because the plants aren't up high enough now. We have a few two-legged animals that get out there with wheelie-dillies and motorcycles and destroy some of this, so usage is very helpful to us. So I went out there last night with a bunch of flags and sticks and stakes and apportioned them around a site that was done in just yesterday. So, and we've had some help from police looking for, just checking out people who have a penchant for taking ties and things like that. So we're balancing, we're all animals, all trying to do our own thing, and you know, so territorial rights, you do what you can, and if you're a bird and you want a little bit of space, then you go steal the egg from somebody else or take the space or challenge. So humans are no different. They do it too. And so one has to have a sense of humor and know that, and not tolerate too much. You stand up and fight for your rights, fight for your space, and you'll see some of that animal activity going on at the same time. So without belaboring the point, we will then go along to further along Route 10, up and over 72, down past Hickory Hill, Hickory Hill Hunt Club, and on across the Sangamon. Just before you get to the Sangamon, Lee Cabuti, he used to be coach of Champagne basketball team, I guess. He's got a nesting Canada goose in a little pond there. So off we go further across the Sangamon, and about a three-quarter of a mile up the road there, going on towards toward Lodge, we find Monticello Road, and you go run down Monticello Road about three-quarters of a mile, and you come to a little patch of bitumen in the road, and you'll look to the left and look to the right and see that this was a railroad line, and then you park on the rail bed or on the roadside with one foot upon the side of the road. It's spring, you have to know, and you, having had to unbog myself yesterday, don't get off the beaten track too much. You will indeed experience what East Central Illinois soils are like in the spring. So walk along to the bridge. If you have a problem with the bridge, we'll be there at we'll be at Seymour at 3:30, and at Shady Rest at 4 o'clock. Those of you who'd like to escape and visit other nice natural areas, The bird migration is in full sway. Places like Bucks Pond and Lodge Park have a range of habitats for migrating birds. They have conifers, which get things like grosbeaks, and they have all those little nitty-gritty trees and understory herbs that attract warblers. I even had a warbler in my office the other day. I have a lot of weeds and seeds in the front, and the door was wide open, and in came a warbler, and I hope it's a warbler. I didn't look it up in the book, but it was on my prairie plants, and so I gently ooshed it out the door, and its partner was waiting, and they flew off with lots of little chippers, and but it was kind of fun to have a visit from a real life wildlife bird. We've got a couple of domesticated doves out there on our little urban prairie, which is behind the weft dish, and they have been dusting themselves in the prairie that's out there, and that's been kind of fun, and a lot of people have seen that and enjoyed. So we're now, we've told you a little bit about what's on the prairie. What's in the forest? What's in the bottomland? Wow. Well, it's starting. The Matensia is starting to come out. That's the bluebells. And very shortly, in some locations, not at Shady Rest, but in some locations like Willow Branch Creek, very shortly, if the season's good, they'll be just blue all over. And the trees will look like they're coming out of sea of blue, sort of a slightly purpley blue. Absolutely wonderful. You should not miss that sort of part of the season. This is so different from a few weeks from now. So out there and have a look. Go to where the old Hogshoot Bridge was, and it'll be there. And so what do we see at Shady Rest? Well, first of all, you see all these Dutchman's breeches. Wow, little clubs with lots and lots of flowers. Whoa, waving their wooden legs in the wind. And enjoying life and enjoying the trailside. And then there are trilliums, and I got a list of them here. Dogtooth violet and spring beauty everywhere. So it's almost a mat of white at the present time, and not too many trees. The canopy hasn't come over yet. Toothwort. Buttercups in the lower places, especially kidney leaf buttercup is there. Very small flower, but phlox, the smilax as the vines are starting to leaf out, and so is the poison ivy and grapevines, and the fishermen are out. They're the real wildlife animals of the bottomlands, the moles and if you're out there at night, there are just frogs. Wow! Take a tape recorder and record the frogs and they're making sounds. There are the salamanders, the squirrels and the rabbits, and they're all relatively fat for having come out of well winter. Watch those rabbits. They eat all sorts of things. But anyway, they're also people. There are people with their children fishing off the bridge. We don't worry. That's what we're there for. We would like at some stage to try and extract a little financial help out of some of these people. But people are catching perch and talking about the rail trail. They know about the site. And they would like to interact with it in a nature manner. So that's good. There are also the motorcycles, and we have to talk to them in a realistic manner. People are enjoying the trail because they can get onto it without having to have a license. So I have a number of young friends who are sowing their oats on a motorcycle. They're learning how to ride motorcycles, how to ride them fast, how to ride them slow, how to ride them jackrabbit starts, and things like that. But we have talked to them, and they're very, very gracious, considering the sort of power trip they're on in some regards. they understand that we're trying to preserve the nature. We've got a tacit agreement that they do not go up and down the embankment and screw up the vegetation on the small 100-foot width that we have, or on the adjacent properties where we have some agreeable relationship, or anywhere for that matter. So I have to try and convince them to go slowish, to stop and talk to people who might be from Audubon or whatever, realize that they're disturbing the birds, so we don't want vehicles without mufflers and things like that. And you, normally you do it after school, perhaps, but not on a weekend. So your very presence as a person would have to say to these people, hey, we're going to live with you for at least a while. This rail trail joins little communities like Lodge and White Heath, and so you've got a buddy up there, and you can go. But don't screw it over. Don't stop us from doing nice things that in the long run will be contributory to you and your grandchildren and other people. So I usually get a very fond reception. Yesterday I did have to go and do a little shouting, but I think that all in all we can do it. In fact, the rail trail people, the motorcycle people have helped to keep the track walkable, and they also spin off a little bit of gravel from time to time, which is that big rocky stuff that you can't ride with a bicycle. So we just, when you see a motorcycle, don't have a fit. Perhaps talk if you feel it's going too fast. We've suggested if anyone has seen it's not going too fast, and we just would like a friendly interaction there. So okay, we understand it's easy. We'll catch you up with you another time if we don't catch up with you now. And if you're shy of a map, come along and we'll give you a map. We have one in the window outside our place, but we can give you details to get you there. Be assured that if you go out there by yourself and you don't know where you're going, you may get lost. There's not too many signs, and so we have had some frustrated people. A map is kind of a help. And remember that it's interesting in the morning light, in the mist and the fog, and it's also nice at night when the coyotes are howling a little, or the train, you can hear the train in the distance. Take a flashlight and do a night walk. Rather wonderful. So we'll take a van. And you can come with us in the van. You can bring your bicycle if you want, especially if it's a mountain bicycle. You can do a little event and then put it back on the machine and we'll go around to Shady Rest and you can do a little event there. Or bring your own vehicle so that you can escape when you want to, and so that you can perhaps go to Alton Park or Friends Creek or Clinton Power Plant Lake or Weldon Springs. Over in the Weldon Springs area, we have on our trail there some of the most humongous jack-in-the-pulpits I have ever seen. They've just got leaves about a foot and a half long, and they're wonderful. I'm sure it's a different species. I'm not too up on this. We do know that some of these bottomland species are rare. One of the species we've got out there, and some of you might know better than I which species it is, but we have one rare phlox, which... We cherish it all. So we talk to people that might take a swath with a motorcycle about these creatures. And so there is one Illinois phlox that we need to work with. Bring boots that don't mind getting wet. The trail itself is graveled and well drained, and so no problem. But once you get off the trail, as we don't really want you to do. So basic boots are good. How we'll be going, just a little more information. If you've got if you don't have a map, here's some information. So, okay, we'll go straight west on Springfield to Seymour. Don't go into Seymour. Go 1 mile past Seymour, over Camp Creek. The road at this point gets closer to the line. There's a little white house on the right, and on the left are two railroad lines. the old Illinois Central and the old Traction Company or Interurban. If you go there, park on the line, not off the line, or you might get bogged. Go down the Interurban side. Walk down the Interurban side, and you'll see Hoary Pocoon. Kind of nice. It's only one or two plants yet, but they're coming, and it just alerts you to the fact that there will be more later. But they don't last too long, these things, so get there before spring is gone. So now, if you have a bicycle and you want to ride, sometimes some people find it more convenient to go out Kirby Avenue, which is one section road further south than Route 10, and you don't have a lot of traffic bothering you. So you go out till you see the WCIA aerial. That's the indicator, and that's the indicator for cars, too. When you see that's a big, tall radio television antenna, and there's a little antenna further south. That's not it. It's a big one. And it has lights on it, and there you're right near our rail trail. So when you see that, you've made it. So people on bicycles go till they see that, and then they go a little bit north onto the Route 10. We'll be at Camp Creek, then we'll head straight to Shady Rest. That means we keep on Route 10 till we go over 72, past Hickory Hill, down to Monticello Road, and that is also called Shady Rest Road. There's a label to that effect there. Turn left, go 3/4 mile, and you meet the rail trail. It's at that point that some of these interesting things are happening. Now, we'll stay there just about half an hour, and then we'll return to Weft at about 5 o'clock. We will probably have with us Janice Turner from WGLT, which is, I don't know if it's a community station, I think it's a regular station, WLL, Public Broadcasting Station, with Bloomington Normal. And she is wanting to do with us a rail trail. We're wanting to do the same thing too, so that we can give you, at this time of the year, we could give you a tape so that you could come to Weft or ERES and pick up a tape and take your tape recorder out there, your walkie-talkie or whatever. No, it's not a walkie-talkie, but your portable radio, tape recorder and take a tape for a segment, say the 5 miles between Seymour and White Heath, which gets you prairie and forest, bottomland forest and bridge and things like that, or the 5 miles over at Clinton, which gets you similar situations, plus old growth forest and bottomland bridge at Cowles Bridge. Very nice stuff. And then something in the middle we'll probably center on, at the border of Piatt and DeWitt counties, around about where the DeLand High School is, and point out why we've got the flat land and why we cherish it so, and why we're anxious that nobody digs it up, because this is where the best best wet prairie is. Okay, you got all that? I think you got all that. What else have we been doing this week? We have a pile of other things here. That includes the Forest Preserve. So I think at the moment we'll put on a little music just to give you a respite, and I'll come right back and talk to you again. Like to say something about the Forest Preserve. So there was a meeting with about 50 people on Thursday night. The board has hired some official park and recreation people to adjudicate the appointment of a new director, and we're asking for guidelines as to what they should do. There were three people appointed. I was particularly concerned that this field is loaded with women doing things, and there are three people on the appointments committee, and all three were male, which goes along with I used to teach in recreation at one stage, and at that point there were about 74% or 70% or something like that women in undergraduate courses, and yet when you looked around to see park administrators and the like, there were one or two at the state level in a field of about 400. So we're looking at the fact that sometimes women do a lot of the trail work, a lot of the interpretive work, provide a lot of the feelings and niceties that go together with historic preservation, natural preservation, and they get left out sometimes at the administrative level. And we could do with that feeling, so I wanted to say that. When you go looking, would you please take care to look for women? I was also interested in prairie. This area was over 90% prairie, and probably about 6 or 7 years ago, we went to the state and had the state statutes changed with the unanimous approval of both parties that counties like Champaign County should be able to preserve forests and prairies and other ecosystems. And overwhelmingly, it was approved that was a missing in the 1972, I think it was, rewrite of the Constitution for Illinois. And so the statutes now read differently, so that prairie is a part. And I wanted to say that if you're going to hire, could you hire someone who has a knowledge of prairie, who comes from a prairie state perhaps, or from Canada or someplace like that, that has an interest in prairie? Overwhelmingly, people felt that the statutes state that this is a forest preserve district. That means it's a conservation is its main responsibility. This is not a recreation park administration place. This is not your local ballpark. This is saving the last of what we have and using it, interpreting it, education, and other things like that. This is not for ball diamonds or fishing or hunting, although those some things are sometimes compatible. There was a fairly strong feeling that the board should set up what it wants to do, and the board should then be the guides, and then they should let the director direct, do the hiring and firing, do the day-to-day work of the forest preserve. That's where there has been a real conflict and some involvement in the direct administration via the board. So there is a plea for something different there. So you should keep an eye out and watch what's going on. I did have to present to a banner for funding out of their, what in effect was community resource development funds for ERES and Heartland Pathways. I got a very pleasant reception. I kind of like what Mayor Markland is doing, so with that, it's time to roll. So this is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WAFT Champaign, and thank you for listening. We'll go back to a little bit of music, and then you'll be coming in with Indian music, which I very much enjoy.
You are indeed tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, your community radio station in East Central Illinois, and this is indeed the Prairie Monk program. My name is Bill Saylor. It is not, in fact, Easter weekend. It is not, in fact, the date of this tape, April 19th, 1992, and especially there is no field trip today at any time to anywhere. But you may detect a sense of continuity in Dave's report there about Shady Rest and the Sangamon woodland plants and the prairie and all that. And that was Dave running the show without an engineer and the music he picked. Dave would often tell me that he missed playing music on his show. There's a point at which he had all of Tuesday afternoon before WEFT had strip programming, which when you had that much time, you'd play a lot more music. So that selection kind of surprised me. And as circumstances would have it, I actually have a little more like it coming up here. We've been bringing you some of the record of Dave's work over time here. We will have an update from Dave from this week at the end of the show. But first, I wanted to share some news of a passing. Almost kind of a tradition on this show. People we've remembered over time. This one was kind of a shock and surprise. Former Champaign-Urbana resident when he was a grad student and a friend of mine from before that. Just this weekend, another college friend of ours passed along this notice of his passing. And I mostly just have the obituary. Tao Bui. T-H-O-B-U-I. Passed away unexpectedly at age 59 on June 25th, 2022. He was living in Tempe lately. I knew Tao from college. He went by the name Tom in his professional life lately. He was originally from Vietnam. Eventually came to the United States and lived in Louisville. And then for his undergraduate degree, he was in Chicago. His undergraduate degree was in metallurgy, or more formally, materials and metallurgical engineering. We lived on the same dormitory floor. He came to Champaign for his for a PhD in material science and engineering, which he completed in 1994. And I visit him was he was down here too, but we were neighbors in undergrad, and Tao was he could make anything out of anything. It wasn't just the metallurgy. Shortly after he graduated, he was he developed or continued perhaps a woodworking hobby where he was making his own furniture, like dining room set. That kind of furniture out of wood. In college, you know, if you found like a block of dense styrofoam, he'd carve something out of it. For a while, he was on a roll of, he'd carve like a word in one side and a word on the other side. They're like big block letters. But if you turned it 90 degrees, it'd still look like big block letters, but the other word, like your name on, but it wouldn't interfere with each other. The visual. So I was like, how do you do this? He also played violin. He enjoyed many things, cooking, flying, yeah, making all kinds of stuff. Some other friends of mine were acquainted with him, you know, through us. And sometimes, you know, point me towards a YouTube video or something and say, is this Tao? And sure enough, it'd be Tao, like demonstrating a solar oven or some kind of touch-sensitive material for an instrument or something like that. And yeah, you can bet that was him. In his professional life, he worked for Honeywell, but he had so many other interests. While he was here, I believe, is when he met his partner and wife, Daira Lexina, and they were interested in ballroom dance, which I remember them doing here. Daira, she was into the competitive, regional circuit or whatever it was, as far as I recall. They did not have children. Ta was survived by several older siblings. I did not realize he was the youngest. Many, many fond memories of Tao. And it's quite surprising that he's gone. I don't know the circumstances. But again, he was here in Urbana-Champaign in the early 90s. And, around that time, I just moved to town and would occasionally drop by his office and hang out and chat, which is sort of what grad students do pretty often. A few other... when you're in college, it's its own sort of environment, especially if you live in the dormitory. Tao had the first room when you come in from the entrance and the dorm floor. We were on the first floor, so he's like in room 102, right? And he'd often leave the door open and fall asleep or whatever. Well, seasonally, we would have mice. And so another one of Tao's interests was marksmanship. In fact, I think it was when we had Prairie State games in the state of Illinois, I believe he did archery. But many nights in mouse season in our dorm, college dorm, Ty would set up on the bed with his BB gun. That's right, his BB gun or air pellet rifle, and wait for the mice. He'd set out some peanut butter. And most of the time he would fall asleep. And you walk by, and there's Towie sleeping on his BB gun. And you shut the light off, close the door. But enough of the time, he would catch his prey. And he kept a tally on a dry erase board on his door. And so each semester, he'd get half a dozen mice out of circulation. He also had, in my recollection, two favorite sidelong tracks on two different albums, and these were records, and he had a record player. And back in the day, record players, usually kind of average sort of record player, had a spindle where you could stack records, and they would drop one by one. So as the tone arm would make its way across the whole record and then return, if you had records stacked on the spindle, the next one would drop down and it would play that one until you went through the stack. Now this mechanism, we're talking 12-inch album record, right? So to keep these in place on the spindle, there was an arm with a little like sort of fork thing that would go over it and set down. Well, you could set that arm like at the opposite position in the record player or whatever, and it would act as a repeat. So Tao had a habit of playing these long atmospheric pieces with the arm on repeat. And it was fine the first time, and usually the second time. But some nights it would get to be, you'd hear the arm retract, the tone arm lift, retract, and then set back down, and you'd hear the first few notes of the thing for the third time or the fourth time. And the thing is, if you tried to sneak in and shut it off, he would wake up. So eventually I learned, because his door was open, you could also close the door, that kind of helped. Eventually I learned that I could sneak in and move the arm to not repeat, and then just listen to it one more time. So the two albums he liked to play was the side two of both of them, Pink Floyd's Echoes, which has some segments, so that's something, and Tangerine Dream, Force Majeure. And the second side has this kind of bouncy synthesizer track on it, Cloudburst. So we're going to sneak some of that in here on behalf of Tao Bowie in memoriam. And I also unearthed, because every decade or so, I rediscover this tape I have. And I don't know how we arrived at this moment. but it's a rendition by Tao of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I mean, if you knew him, you might recognize his voice, but you know, it's not his normal range, which is all the more impressive because it's really well delivered. So Tao Bowie, in memoriam, passed away about 2 weeks ago, unexpectedly. Very intelligent, creative, and engaging. He will be missed. And this is Tao. This is probably 1984 or 1985. We just happened to record this. So with that, I bring you Tao Bowie, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. We'll be back in a moment.
Bluebird fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh why?
You are tuned to the Prairie Monk program on WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. My name is Bill Saylor. Thanks for tuning in. That was my memorial for Tao Bui, a friend from some time ago and a former resident of this community. Passed away unexpectedly on June 25th, just a couple of weeks ago. Well, to finish the show, I have a recording, a message from Dave Monk, the Prairie Monk, to you. I've encouraged Dave to record something when we were both able. Dave is in nursing care, for those of you who are not already apprised of that. And I really kind of wanted Dave to give you his own update on that, which he does here. He's been in a weakened condition, but he's had a steady stream of visitors and been talking to all of them a lot. This particular recording, we'd been talking for about an hour before we turned the recorder on here. So it's a bit of audio verite and a bit of being extra tired at that point, but that is where we're at. So this was recorded Tuesday, July 5th, and it is the Prairie Monk, and I will be back with you with more from the archives in this hour next week. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial. I reached a ripe old age of 90. I did really not realize that this is very old for a male. I had all sorts of projects that I wanted to work on, and all of a sudden I got a blocked bile duct, and people recognized that I was a little jaundiced and sent me to the hospital at Carl, and they checked me out, so that I all of a sudden was in hospital, and they were very good, and I had 6 days there and then got back to my office, and I had good days and not so good days. My friends and relatives had me at the Inman Hotel, which was quite nearby, and I could waddle my way across the office on Market Street and work. But sometimes I was able to do that and walk without support of any description. But on the other end, I almost died because I collapsed and couldn't operate. So I've been back in hospital, and I'm away from my office, and people like Bill have been working to salvage some of what we have left. It's a very different thing. If I was surviving as a operational person with projects, I would have the opportunity to work on projects. If I can't do that, we have to take stuff out that people don't know about. So we have to just eliminate information that is quite useful, but nobody knows what we have, and we have to eliminate that with care. So we have to make suggestions like the crockery can come out from the kitchen, or we take it out a little at a time. So it's we're in downtown Champaign, where there's still about 250 million sitting around, and empty buildings all around the MTD building. So there's that nervous energy and money. And then there's a group that is involved with the Cofusion and the First National Bank that was. And there's that sort of nervous money too. And Heartland Pathways owns a building in the middle of this. So right outside our door, on a good day with weather, you can have 500 or 600 people enjoying music. And the street is closed off.
beer can come out onto the street, what used to be the Pocket Prairie is really a very nice beer garden. But over the years, I've been glad to work with WEFT and with the Parkland College and with the School of the Art Institute in Chicago and work with vernacular art and science and education. And we're very glad to be in this fine arts that's a little better than being in agriculture where production is a major feature. So we're still working at things, and in the long run, we're thinking of rail trails and greenways that blossom once a rail trail goes through. The federal government was worried about losing connections like between Urbana and Danville, and those connections have been replaced by, they use rail trail people and give them money to develop one more public use of the railroad bed, and it maintains the preservation of the railroad bed. So they're using rail trail people to do that. Then it's a federal rail banking act, and that has helped us to apply for a docket to allow the Kickapoo Trail, the state park at the end of it, to operate. That will continue, we hope. And Monticello is a retreat area, and it has add-ons like a railroad museum or sporting complexes or towns that have moved and are in take. So we bought three legs around this retreat that help to preserve it. One is for nature outside Allerton Park with involvement of rattlesnakes and lots of prairie growing up onto the ballast. So we don't want recreation to go through. We want recreation to stop at road cuts that already exist and examine the prairie. It has very little native prairie left. We're down to 0.001% of the prairie that existed here. It was blanket removed, very rich soil, and we created a historic conference, and out of that we pulled a board of trustees that would be advocates for the prairie, especially the prairie soils, remnant soils just loaded with bacteria and fungi and activity. Very hard to find them near to railroad beds. And that has morphed a little in the Grand Prairie Friends going to Warbler Woods in the Charleston area, where they have been gung-ho working with Indiana Bats, and they can have 100 volunteers, and they were in the right place at the right time, and they have a liatris club which puts in $1,000 each year, and they're very close to being in the multi-million dollar territory to save some of those things. So the prairie ecosystem, which in Champaign County was 94% prairie, is almost extinct. That's a world ecosystem, and you're losing all the biochemicals and the plants and especially the soils. So we preserve that. We've given the railroad museum the opportunity to preserve ballast in a different site, and so that we can get historic trains into Champaign, and we have downtown Champaign. Literally hundreds of young folk were looking for things to do, and an antique train might just be what we need. So we have that alternative, but we also have an alternative which is recreation from Whiteheath all the way to Clinton, where there are two state parks that are very popular, and the state has offered us money to buy the connection between those two sites, Clinton Lake, Weldon Springs State Park. We didn't do that because the appraisal was twice that, but you have to realize that the cost is in the cost of examining the titles and the deeds, and we have good titles and deeds. So that complex between Danville, Decatur, Clinton, and Monticello is sort of a glorified retreat for anyone that wants to get out of their flatland corn and soybeans and see what was real before they came, and also the other end, it's international people who'd like to know what we had as a prairie. So it's been a real trip. It continues. I will be in hospital, heading towards hospice, and I might recoup for a little while, but I will be out of it. And I have a team of people who have been very good about looking at this for the future. We need someone who has charismatic ability to activate this sort of thing. We don't necessarily have that at the moment, so by default we have to do what we can ourselves. But we hope you can join us in various ways and help us, help that team into action. We have a good attorney, and that's better to go before a judge rather than for amateurs to go forward. So we applaud what you have been doing to support us, and onward and upward, and I think that's probably enough for Bill to record at the moment. I thank you all for listening over the years and being a guest, and Bill for being 18 years my associate and contributing here and there, and David was signing for another 6 or so years, and we have been confused by the virus. But we're getting back into action, and we thank you a lot for your listenership on a Sunday at 11 o'clock. And we're fitting in there between the Gospels and the Indian music. And I just appreciate what we've been able to do over probably 40 years. So thank you for your involvement. We're not completely gone because people want to do blogs and fit them into our website, so they can fit anywhere. But we have cameras and we can put information into programs and send more than just Monk's Ugly Dial. It will be include bridges and places. So this is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, and thanks to Bill Saylor and David Sunny, and thanks for Webb.
And again, we thank all of our listeners, donors, contributors, community partners that helped keep WEFT viable and on the air.